Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the fastest growing and largest segment of society, to those of you who, like me, realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, counterproductive, and irresolvable. I am Yada. Our phone number, if you would like to participate anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll-free 877-376-45. I received this note while I was on vacation a week or so ago. Hi, Yada. Welcome back. Gee, I didn't know that the Pope could declare the Yobel year. What follows is an article on the Pope declaring what he called a jubilee, which is just one of thousands of Christian corruptions of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, of Yahweh's terminology. The actual time is a Yobel. It is on the same sequence as is a jubilee. This jubilee was declared by the Pope 50 years from something that was considered important to his church, not something that was considered important to God. Why? Because God does not matter in Roman Catholicism. God is irrelevant in Roman Catholicism. The church is their God. There is nothing in Roman Catholicism that supersedes the church. And for those who are new to this program, there is no correlation whatsoever, no intersection, no association of any kind between God and the church. And for those of you who have been duped into believing that Jesus Christ created his church and that he has a church, you would be wrong on Jesus, on Christ, and church. What he said in Hebrew to a audience, in this case his disciples, who were fluent in Hebrew. He did not speak Greek. He did not speak English. They did not speak Greek. They did not speak English. The closest word to the word that is translated, that is used to translate what Yosha said in Hebrew, is ekklesia. Ecclesia cannot be transliterated to church. Ecclesia, as transliterated, is ecclesia. That means to replicate its sounds. It can't be translated to church either, which means to replicate its meaning, because it does not mean church. Church is the name of a pagan sun goddess, the daughter of Helios, in the Germanic religions. No. Ecclesia means called out. Ecclesia is to call, and ek in Greek means out. Well, there is a very important title, one that Yosha came to enable, one that Yosha was the living embodiment of, and yes, his name is Yosha, it means Yahweh saves. Identify who he is and why he is here. And that is the mikra. Based upon the Hebrew word kara, it means to call out. He was establishing his mikra. If you don't know what a mikra is, that Yahweh has seven of them, that he has invited you to be called out and to meet with him seven times a year, then you don't know God. Then just like the Christian church, you have no affinity with him whatsoever. You've never talked to him. He has never heard you speak. He does not know your name. He has no idea who you are. And you most certainly are not saved. That is the reality of all of this. So this Pope established his jubilee based on something that was important to his church, because the church and the Catholic God are one in the same. These Yobel, which means the year of Yahweh's Lamb, and it's Yah's Lamb, Yobel is a contraction of the Hebrew word for lamb and the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, is Yobel. That the year of Yahweh's Lamb is 7 times 7 plus 1. 7 times 7 is the formula that Yahweh uses throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. It's the formula of creation. It's the formula for salvation. It's the formula of everything that's important to God. Seven. And seven times seven plus one is the timing of the Yovel. It is celebrated annually with Shavuah, which is seven Sabbaths. Again, the promise of seven. Shavuah. And it is celebrated every 50 years with the Yovel. Every 50 years. Everything that's important to Yahweh has occurred not just on a Yovel year, but on very specific Yovel years. You see, 40 in Hebrew is a number of a time of completion. The rains came for 40 days and 40 nights. The children of the Exodus, after having spent 400 years as slaves, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Yahusha was tested for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is the time of a period of testing. It is also a period of time of measuring unique intervals. For example, Moshe and Yahusha and the children of Yisrael, their elders, were on Mount Moriah to receive the Torah for 40 days and 40 nights. And so if you take 40 times the number of the Yovel, 50 years, 7 times 7 plus 1, you get 2,000 years. So if you look at the time of Adam and Chawa's eviction from the Garden of Eden, when the countdown had to be set for our reconciliation in the covenant relationship, that occurred in 3968 BCE. 40 Yovels later, Yahweh was initiating the plan of reconciliation with Abraham. In 1968 BCE, 1967 BCE, probably more precise because there was no year zero, Yahweh and Abraham met on Mount Moriah regarding the sacrifice of the only begotten son, for which a sacrificial lamb was provided to ratify the covenant, the means to engage in a relationship with Yahweh where our Heavenly Father saves His children. 1,000 years later after that, it's just an interesting artifact, is when the Dode and Solomon began the process of building Yahweh's home on earth, His temple, on Mount Moriah. And so it would be 2,000 years exactly after Abraham and Yitzhak met with Yahweh and Yahusha on Mount Moriah. Yahusha, as the corporeal manifestation of Yahweh, the diminished manifestation of Yahweh, did exactly as he said to Shimon Kephish, who has been corrupted to Peter. And he established his mikra. He himself being a sacrificial lamb of Pesach's soul descending into Sheol on Matzah to resolve the issue of our sin, to ransom us back. His soul being released from Sheol on Bukurim, firstborn children, so that we could follow his example and become spiritual children in the covenant, perfected and immortal, returning to the Father. And then seven times sevens later, exactly on the right time of Shavuah, the children of the covenant, Yahusha's disciples, and that those who had accepted Yahweh's invitation to participate in this relationship with Him were empowered and enriched, fulfilling all five of the beneficial promises of the covenant. That's the story of the Yovel. 40 Yovel from the time the covenant was ratified with Abraham and Yitzhak. Yahweh fulfilled His promises on that same mountain, Moriah. exactly 40 Yobel 2,000 years hence. Now, the Yobel is important because there are two more very important events on Yahweh's calendar. His return to reconcile his relationship with his family and his establishment of the seventh or Shabbat time here on earth, where he celebrates 1,000 years of Sukkah, which is the seventh of those Mikre. And you can set your clocks exactly 40 Yobel, 2,000 years from the time that Yahusha fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and Shavuah. Yahweh will fulfill, returning on Yom Kippurim, and then setting up camp, camping out with his creation for 1,000 years, beginning on Sukkah. And since most people don't know that we're talking about, in this discussion, year 2,000 Yah, 4,000 Yah, and 6,000 Yah, and how that applies to our pagan Roman Catholic calendar, he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and Shavuah, observing them in 33 CE on the pagan Roman calendar. That's 2033. On that same calendar that we use today. That's how much time you have left. Knowing that 7 years before his return, on Yom Kippurim, which will be October 2nd, 2033, that there will be a horrible tribulation. That brings you to the fall of 2026. That's how much time you have if you don't want to endure it. There's only one way out. And the Roman Catholic Church most certainly isn't a way out. It is a way to assure that you will endure the tribulation. And in fact, the tribulation is all about the Roman Catholic Church. It is the beast that dominates that period of time. It is the very beast that Yahweh so eloquently warned us about through his prophet Daniel. And so all this Pope is doing with his jubilee is announcing that the church and his God and its God are one, and that they will endure the tribulation that is to come. So here's the article. It says Vatican City, Pope Francis. Vatican City is amazing too, isn't it? That first of all, they put their capital in Rome. So there's no, and they even named the church the Roman Catholic. And here's the very beast that Yahweh was talking about in Daniel. Said it's the most vicious beast of all time. And that unlike the other empires, the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Greek, that the Roman Empire would never die. That it would continue on through the last days. And so the Roman Catholic Church, by establishing its heart in Rome, by calling itself Roman Catholic, is identifying itself with what Yahweh calls the most debilitating, vicious, deadly beast of all time. And yet they're clueless to it, but most people are clueless to it. But if you read Daniel, it's impossible not to recognize the Roman Catholic Church as the outgrowth of the Roman Empire that is so devastating in the last days. So, anyway, in Vatican City in Rome, Pope Francis and Pope is, by the way, a pagan term. All of the Roman emperors called themselves Pope or Father. And so it's a term that was just taken from the Roman Caesars. On Friday marked the second anniversary of his election by declaring a jubilee that will be interpreted as a powerful signal of his commitment to reforming the church. Oh, yeah, right. You know, the issue here is that 50 years ago, there was a Vatican Council that, in fact, here the article, the extraordinary holy year dedicated to the theme of mercy has been called to celebrate the 50th year of a groundbreaking Vatican Council that transformed how the church related to a modern world. Yeah, 50 years ago, the church says, we're presenting all of our sermons and have for better part of 1,000 years. in Latin, not a clue, not a person understands them. We're talking to ourselves, and no one else can even listen. So the only people that were, everybody going to Roman Catholic Church, and they said, oh, yeah, the pageantry's nice, the songs are nice, and I don't know the lyrics, of course, and the sermon is completely meaningless to me because no one understood Latin at that time. But they're even speaking in the Latin of the language of the Romans, still speaking the language of the Romans, even though no one else spoke it. Yeah, it's pathetic. Anyway, that's when they ended the obligation to have religious services conducted in Latin. You know, probably they were better off having them in Latin, because all they do now in English and other languages around the world is lie to their constituents. So what's the difference, say, between lying in a language they don't understand and lying in a language they do understand, is that they're more likely to beguile people by lying to them in a language they understand. Anyway, the Jubilee year will begin on December 8th and will run through November 20th of 2016. November 8th is the holiest, one of the holiest dates on the Catholic calendar, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Yeah. You know, why don't you look and see if Yanoa has a Feast of the Immaculate Conception. First, I'd like you to do two things. One is I'd like you to find a feast that the Roman Catholics celebrate that Yahweh has invited us to attend. I want you to find one that one of Yahweh's, I mean, they're very clearly identified. They're identified throughout the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. So I'd like you to find one, Pesach, Matzah, Bikurim, Shavua, Teruah, Kippurim, or Sukkah. I want you to find one that the Roman Catholic Church celebrates. And they, you know, Yahweh's instruction was, you either meet with him during each of them, you answer his invitation, or go away. And I want nothing to do with you. And so, I want you to find which of them they celebrate. And then I want you to answer the second question. Which of those that they actually, of their own feasts that they celebrate, does Yahweh celebrate? Has Yahweh endorsed and invited us to? And you'll find there's no correlation whatsoever in either list. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic and you realize that God has established seven dates to meet with him, and that Yosha, the person that you misnamed Jesus, observed them all, and he told you to as well, and you don't observe any of them, and your church ignores all of them, even condemns them, and your church has established its own holy days that have nothing to do with God. Once you know that, if you don't leave the church angry as hell for them having misled you, then you're a moron. You deserve the fate that is awaiting you. You're just stupid. And if you're going to reject this information because it's in conflict with your religious beliefs, then you're incapable of thinking. Go away. You're going to die at the end of your earthly existence unless you advocate the church, in which case you'll spend eternity with your church in hell. You will have earned it. The truth is obvious. You have to be ignorant and irrational to be a Roman Catholic. Part of this article, it was assumed that by making this decree that the Pope will not be a long-serving Pope. In fact, he says, I have a feeling that my pontificate will be brief, he told Mexico's Televisa channel in an interview to mark his anniversary. 4 or 5 years, I don't know. 2 years have already gone by. Quote, it's a vague feeling that I have that the Lord chose me for a short mission. I'm always open to that possibility. According to Yahweh, the Lord is Satan's name and title. So if the Lord chose him, then he's in poor company. I have two articles on a related subject. A federal judge sharply scolded a Justice Department attorney. Justice Department works under the administrative branch of the U.S. government. In other words, this Justice Department attorney was representing the Obamanator. So a federal judge sharply scolded the Obama representative at a hearing on President Obama's immigration executive actions, saying that the administration deliberately misled him on a key part of the program and that he fell for it, quote, like an idiot, end quote. And describing most of America. Most of America falls for what the Abominator says, like idiots. Most everything the man says is untrue. And Americans fall for it like idiots. The testee court hearing was held at on Thursday in Texas. Now, she's accusing the Obama representative of perjury in Texas by U.S. District Judge Andrew Hannon. The judge said that he could order other sanctions against the administration if he finds that indeed she deliberately lied to him. And she did. At issue is whether the DOJ misled the judge. Now, you can hear this journalist. He wants to make it sound like, well, there's some gray area here. Well, there's no issue here. But we'll go ahead and read it as it's written. The issue is whether the DOJ misled the judge into believing that a plank of the Obama program giving deportation reprieves to thousands of young illegal immigrants brought into the U.S. as children would not go forward before he made a ruling on the request to halt it. Yet, in fact, federal officials have given more than 108,000 people reprieves before that date and granted them work permits under the program. So, the Obama administration goes in and lies to the judge and says, oh, judge, yeah, no problem. No problem on this. You don't have to rule so quickly on this executive action. We promise that we won't give any of the children that were brought into the United States illegally immunity. We won't give them. We'll not act on them. We won't do anything in that regard to any of them, Judge. You can trust us on this. And yet, at that time, they had given asylum, immunity, legal status to 108,000. Now, I'm not a whiz at math, but I'm going to suggest here that 108,000 is more than none. And I'm going to suggest that when you say we won't implement this plank of the agreement, and you have implemented it 108,000 times, that there is no chance whatsoever that this was just a slight oversight, Judge. I mean, who's going to notice 108,000 times? I mean, come on. It's a big country. It's a big government. Deliberately, knowingly lying in a court of law. That's called perjury. The person who is responsible is the President of the United States. He should be impeached. It's his narcissism. It's his grandiose sense of self. His enormous ego and his lack of moral fiber, which is a consequence of narcissism, that has caused him to act as if he were king. The judge chided the Justice Department, scolded them, and particularly their attorney, this would be Obama's attorney, Kathleen Hartnett, for telling him at a January hearing before the injunction was issued that nothing would be happening with regard to that key point of the Obama action, an expansion of the 2012 Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program known as DACA until February 18th. She lied. Speaking of that same Justice Department, a former FBI agent was charged in federal court Friday with 64 criminal offenses related to the theft of heroin seized as evidence in drug investigations the Bureau conducted in the D.C. region. The investigation and charges brought against the agent, a 33-year-old Matthew Lowry, have led federal prosecutors to dismiss criminal charges against 26 defendants and abandon action at least five major drug investigations. Why? Because he was stealing the drugs and then planting the residue on others And he was providing expert witness when he himself was the thief and the drug user. Yes, he has admitted that he stole the heroin, that he used the heroin. He only did so after he was discovered unconscious and slumped over his car after overdosing on heroin. And the empty bags that contained the heroin that were all labeled as evidence were found in the back of his car. It's pretty hard at that point to say, I don't know how they got there. I don't know how I overdosed. The reality is that the testimony of the Department of Justice, particularly the FBI, has been dishonest for many decades. Thousands of people have been imprisoned for long periods of time by juries who, like idiots, believed the FBI, their crime lab, and the testimony of the Department of Justice. We lost our way a very long time ago. It's long since time that we recognize this and stop believing them like idiots. This is a story of another alphabet soup federal and state agency running amok, pretending that they have the right to abuse Americans. Quote, I am shocked that my face was slammed into the brick pavement just across the street from where I attend school, Johnson said through his attorney at a news conference here late Thursday of last week. Johnson stood next to his attorney, cuts visible on the student's head. I think he needed 15 stitches to close gashes in his head that were perpetrated by ABC officers. For those of you who do not live in the antiquated world of the South, ABC is the alcohol arm of the state governments. They are the ultimate in hypocrisy. They sell alcohol. And they're in these ABC stores. Yeah, they sell alcohol. And yet they have a police, ABC police, that makes certain no one else sells alcohol. You can't be in business to sell alcohol. Why? Where does the Constitution say, thou shalt not sell alcohol? Do they know that as the Constitution was being written, that alcohol was the principal beverage that during the time of the U.S. Constitution, people either drank alcohol or they died? That alcohol was the very nectar of civilization? Because if you drank water, it killed you, particularly in towns and cities and villages. In fact, it didn't matter where you drank the water. It would kill you. And so, since they didn't know that boiling would resolve the problem, what turned out to be the case is that alcohol solved the problem. And so they made illegal something that Americans almost ubiquitously did. They brewed. They distilled. But they made that illegal. No, but it's legal for them, not legal for you. That's pure hypocrisy. And people just go along with it. Then they established a police to badger those who would dare brew their own and not pay the government their brew taxes, not sell it through the government stores. Yeah, and this is the land of the free? Sure it is. You know, this is not the first person that the ABC has abused. And they abused this man because he gave the zip code of his mother. I mean, he's living, you know, in the University of Virginia. This young man comes from Chicago. He's on full academic ride at University of Virginia. And he presented an ID to one of the local bars, and because the ABC will close the bar down and take the bar owner's liquor, his business, his freedom from him if he lets somebody in with a fake ID. You know, they have anybody scrutinize his ID and think anything could possibly be wrong with it. They don't let them in, particularly if they look like they might be underage. And when, why in the world you could go at 18 and sign up for being indoctrinated by your government and being and being taught how to kill at 18, and that's legal, but you can't drink until you're 21. I don't understand that rule. Seems pretty stupid to me. But anyway, that's the nature of the ABC and their business. And so this man, the ABC, stands outside of bars just to pounce on those who are denied entrance into a bar. And in this young man's case, he handed them his real driver's license. But not a fake driver's license. Handed him his real driver's license. And it had his age correctly stated on it. So they started to drill him because they were all upset that they didn't have a victim. They wanted somebody they could abuse. And so he gave the zip code, when asked for a zip code, of where he'd come from, his mother's address, because it's where he lived prior to being right there in Virginia going to school. And so for that, they pounded his head into the sidewalk. Lovely, huh? By the way, the same ABC in an unmarked car, with ununiformed officers, chased down one of my wife's closest friend's daughter and harassed her. I mean, really, really abused her. They're belligerent. They're aggressive. They're violent. They're enraged. They're hot-tempered. They're out of control. The nature of the ABC is the same nature of the DEA, it's the same nature of the FBI, it's the same as the CIA, it's the same. No matter the alphabet soup label on them, the ATF, there's so many of these state and local agencies that are somewhere between police and military. And they're all belligerent. And, you know, there are times, in the case of my wife's friend's daughter, this girl and her two friends went to the store to buy, and it was soft drinks. I think it was, you know, vitamin waters, that sort of thing. And the ABC was outside, lurking outside the store, and saw them put the case of vitamin waters in their trunk. And not only followed them, but then pulled up next to them and told them to pull over in an unmarked car. They're not even in uniforms. And when the girls did the right thing, which is, in no way are you going to pull over under this set of circumstances, there have been a number of girls raped in that community. No way. And so they tried to find a place where they could pull over that was well lit, where there were lots of people. And so they were ultimately forced to pull over and arrested for avoiding arrest. They had done nothing wrong. And they were tremendously harassed by the ABC officers, just as was a case in this same town in central Virginia, a young man that bought a six-pack of water from a local store. He suffered the same fate. The policing mechanism in America is completely out of control. A lot of it is a combination of two things. One is far too many have come out of the indoctrination of the military, where they have been taught to kill. It's the wrong environment to bring people into policing, and yet it's the most common. And the second is that Americans that serve in the Justice Department and in the FBI and in the ABC and the ATF and DEA have all been indoctrinated in America's schools, where political correctness has run amok and they're incapable of being moral, of exercising good judgment. And so we have a belligerent society where those of us who are citizens who have the right to keep and bear arms are precluded from doing so, and establish militias of police and military are armed to the teeth with military weapons, badgering the citizens, depriving them of their freedoms. And all the while, the citizenry just yawns. It is an extraordinarily sad state of affairs. By the way, Scott, do you know what the Cleveland police chief had to say about his officers driving up at high speed right beside a young boy that was playing with a toy gun, scaring the kid to death, and within 2 seconds of the time that they arrived on the scene, without even talking to the boy, shooting him dead? Do you know what he had to say about the conduct of his police officers in murdering the young boy?
I know they blamed the child.
They blamed the child. They exonerated the officers.
Tamir Rice is the child's name.
Yep.
They blamed the child.
Yep. The same thing is the case of the man that was suffocated by the police officer in New York, where the man had his crime was that he tried to break up a fight. And they choked him to death while he, in diminishing sounds, said, "I can't breathe." They exonerated them too and blamed the man that they killed.
Apparently that's okay, I guess. I mean,
it's okay for police officers to kill unarmed
12-year-old kids.
Yeah, 12-year-old kids. I mean, and men that try to intervene doing the right thing to stop a fight, it's okay to kill them too. Yep. Okay, kill.
I mean,
yeah. You know, there was a mentally retarded boy that the police killed in Los Angeles. They were exonerated too. Why? Because they lied. You know, part of the problem in the Justice Department in that first case where you have multiple people from attorneys to FBI agents lying is that they come out of the culture of the military where lying is pervasive, according to the study by the War Department. Everyone is lying. They wouldn't tell the truth, even if the truth sounded better. All the way up to the president, the commander-in-chief himself.